coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Monday, October 7, 2024, 1 year ago today. Of course, you had just a tremendous loss of life tragedy attack, of course, against Israel. And we commemorate that day, solemn commemoration of that specific day. And I blame a lot of that, much of that, to a vacant, mentally vacant current regime in the White House. I don't believe that if Donald Trump was in the White House at that time, that would have happened. I'm over all of this gaslighting by the media, by the mainstream media. I'm just over all of this. Look, things are happening right now. Really, decades of headlines are compressed into a week. We are seeing things happen like at no other time in history, and I think we have to acknowledge that. I've got a great show lined up for you. In the first segment, I want to get into a couple of things. One in particular, and you know, I did not give you the link to Source Video 3, did I? Thank you. Eric the Tech, how are you today, by the way, after your weekend, which was nothing but work? How are you?
I'm doing good.
You know, he looks good. Ladies, you got to see him. Now, he's married to my daughter, okay? So, but when I say ladies, you got to see him. I mean, the guy is in, he's, man, I could not replace him. And I'm very thankful to have him. And folks, I'm thankful to have you as well out there. And also, one more thing. I'm thankful for sat123.com. You know, and I wasn't planning on talking about this initially, but one thing that the satellite phone store, Tina, the owners of, they will not tell you what they're doing to help the victims in North Carolina, Tennessee, the victims of this manufactured storm. I believe it was manufactured. At least it was enhanced and moved, if you will, to this specific area. It's too much of a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. But Tina and others from the satellite phone store are passing out sat phones. And I saw a comment on Rumble. Well, these aren't going to first responders, are they? No, they're going to the people that are actually delivering the goods to people. They're going to churches. Look, they're going to people who are making the difference, not government, but making the real difference. Go to go to sat123.com. Follow the links on HagmanPI.com. There you can find an array of items from dark bags, escape zone dark bags, Faraday bags, you know, anti-ballistic bags, chargers, solar chargers for different. And I'm telling you, those solar chargers really work very well, very well. And I think Eric the Tech could probably confirm that. He's got a solar charger, as do we. So, you know, these are the things that you wish you had before an emergency happens. And of course, so please support the satellite phone store, sat123.com. Please support them. I don't know how they're doing it. They're giving away more satellite phones than I've ever seen, and other equipment as well. They're very, very, very kind, very generous people. But speaking about that, I want to just address you, because there is something going on here I want to tell you. There is a gaslighting by the media, by people like the press secretary for this vacant, mentally vacant regime taking place. Now we have, you remember, and if you don't, you can go back into Rumble archives or Brighteon archives or your podcast archives. When Andrew Lowe was on B1 Church, of course, doing a lot of work in North Carolina. I want to tell you what's really going on down there. You see things on social media where some people will say, look, we're in Tennessee and we're working very well with both the federal and the state agencies, FEMA, and in the case of Tennessee, TEMA. We're working very well. And then you go to places like Western, especially Western North Carolina, where they're saying, wait a second, we're having our supplies confiscated. In some cases, there are legitimate reroutes of supplies. This is not a one-size-fits-all situation or one-event-fits-all situation. You've got people on the ground in North Carolina having much different experiences than South Carolina, Tennessee, and other areas. Specifically in Western North Carolina, you have FEMA that is actively attempting to stop citizens from delivering aid to people. And you may think, well, this could be for safety reasons. It could be because there's this big aid movement by FEMA and you don't want to get in the way. I understand that line of thinking, but that's not the case. Here's what's happening. FEMA is intentionally blocking, in some cases, not all, but some cases, FEMA is intentionally blocking aid, and especially in North Carolina. You can have the head of FEMA go on MSNBC like she did this morning, on Morning Joe, and say everything's fine. We have supplies prepositioned. We're getting supplies to people. But when you talk to people that are on the ground, Andrew Lowe, like I said last week, we had him, B1 Church, we had him on. And then, of course, we as a broadcast platform, in addition to this broadcast platform, we're working with others who, and in this case, we were able to obtain a truck and obtain supplies and send the truck and supplies to North Carolina. Now, before they left, and we did that, the Hagmann Report did that. I'm not saying that for any kind of, yay is us. But I just want to let you know, because if anything blows back, I don't want anyone else to be blamed for this. We sent along two security guards with the driver. And I'll say this, they're armed. I won't get into the logistics of the arming of the guards, but the fact of the matter is I told them, I talked to them. I said, look, you don't stop for anybody. If FEMA, somebody from FEMA says you can't deliver to where you're supposed to deliver, and we're going right into the heart of where it needs to be, for any other reason than like a road being out and you can't pass, okay, obviously, then you tell them, no, we're going. Which brings me to my next point. And by the way, that specific load was delivered without incident and without any molestation by FEMA. And I think they knew better. But FEMA is blocking civilians. the death count is going to stagger people's, it's going to blow people's minds. The direct information I'm getting, you've got at least 2,500 in that swath of land in the western North Carolina section. 2,500 that are dead. I think maybe several hundred are already in morgues. See, you're not hearing about this. And you're not hearing about how FEMA is screwing the pooch. You may have seen the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. God bless Donald Trump for coming back to Butler. Elon Musk as well, and others. Great people, by the way. John Fredericks there from RAV, Real America's Voice, and others from Real America's Voice. Ben Birkwam. But you're not hearing the true stories, the true death, the true devastation that this has caused, that this storm has caused, the complete wiping out of villages. And on social media, you're hearing conflicting stories. That's in part, that's because there are different areas. So please understand, there are things happening that you may think, well, both can't be true or both can't be false. Yeah, they can, because of the different areas. Last week, I mean, we were just working nonstop to try to get things working with, helping B1 Church for the donations, but the physical delivery of supplies. So, It was just a head-banging week last week. Now, we intend to get more help and more aid, physical supplies down there as well. But here's my prediction or my suspicion of what will be taking place. You're dealing with a different kind of American down in that area, especially through Appalachia, especially through the Smoky Mountains. The people are self-reliant, and they will go out and attempt to get their own supplies, or if they are part of a rescue operation or to help other people, and FEMA gets in their way. Here's my, I don't want to say prediction, but here's what I believe will happen. You're going to have some dead federal agents down there. They're not going to take this bullshit from FEMA. I'm telling you right now, they're not going to take it. These people are great Americans. They're patriotic. They're self-reliant, self-sufficient. They help one another out, but you get in their way. It doesn't matter if you've got a federal patch on your jacket. You get in their way. I'm telling you, bad idea. So I do suspect, as the frustration grows, and it will grow, as the people are helped less and less in terms of the effectiveness of FEMA, you're going to see some people disappear. I'm talking about federal agents. I'm talking about FEMA people. Because you've got this bullcrap LGBTQIA stuff that's and DEI stuff that is really governing FEMA right now. They're not going to take that. And by the way, that's all that red area down there in terms of politics, so the politically red area. And the left, the in-charge left, the communist left, they are not doing anything to assist the voting. It's a month, less than a month to voting day, to election day. They're not doing anything to help those people with respect to votes. So I'm just saying, you're going to see some things, I think, in the next couple of weeks that you've never seen before, and that includes any federal agent gets, and this is just me speaking from an observational viewpoint. You get in the way of these people, you better make sure you have your affairs in order. That's just what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing. And if you don't believe, for example, in North Carolina, that FEMA is blocking civilian aid. Here's cut one. It's 46 seconds. It's really it's an audio, but you can see on the video from the social media feed. Just listen carefully to what this exchange is. Again, 46 seconds. This is taken from one of the broadcasting apps that you can get on your phone. But listen to what is said here and understand the serious nature of what FEMA is supposed to do, but they're doing just the opposite. Here's cut one at HagmanPI.com.
KQ4LBA. Black Mountain just released a statement today not to bring any more resources here, and that's the craziest thing that I have ever heard.
No, you're dead right. That's the reason we're not going to Black Mountain. The first load we took up there, the local government up there told us not to bring anything, and they said they didn't want anything, that they were waiting on the federal assistance. And then when they went up there another time to try to get stuff off, and we were told to take it to a federal FEMA camp, is what they said, and drop it off, and they would organize it for distribution to the people.
So there you have it. Okay, now I'll say this. Delivery to churches. FEMA has no authority. The federal government has no authority over anything that's coming from a church, from a 501c3, from a church. They have absolutely no authority. So just bear that, keep that in mind. All right. Now, also this weekend, Ben Berkwam was in East Palestine, Ohio. Remember last February of 2023, you had this massive train derailment. This all fits together when you take a look at what is taking place with this particular regime. Oh, everything is fine, right, with respect to East Palestine. No, it's not fine. I want you to listen to this, Ben Berkwam, on Saturday, talking about the settlement that was pushed. This is obscene. Onto the people of East Palestine, the people who were victims by this train derailment. And listen very closely, because this will be part of the land grab that will affect the Appalachian area, the North Carolina, South Carolina area of the U.S. This was also done, not this particular settlement, but this was also, we also saw this in Maui and other areas. And perhaps we're going to see it again with this approaching storm Milton. All right. So folks, understand the evil part of what's going on. And this is truly evil. Listen to Ben Berkwam. And this is from Saturday. If you go to HagmanPI.com, click on the link, the headline for today's show, the title for today's show. You can open up, and of course, you'll have all the source videos, and this is cut four. Go ahead and play cut four.
The headline from a scientific study published this week in Ars Technica. Toxic chemicals, it said, from Ohio train derailment lingered in buildings for months. Well, joining us now to talk about East Palestine is our correspondent, Ben Berkwam, who's en route to that city today. Ben, you know, we're used to this administration ignoring red states, red towns, red regions, red cities, whatever. If they don't think it's in their best interest to give aid and comfort during what is national tragedies on these areas like East Palestine, then they don't. And so they ignored East Palestine. We're seeing it again with some of the southern states hit last week in the hurricane. Ben, what are you planning on looking into in East Palestine today?
Yeah, you know, you could have been a skeptic on that point you just made, Gina. Until you see this this series of these events, and you said it, East Palestine, a Republican stronghold. They don't think they're going to have a chance of winning it, so Joe Biden doesn't show up for over a year. Kamala Harris still has not been there. That's why we're going back today to talk to the people. That's one of the reasons why Also, you look at what's happening in North Carolina, South Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, all of these places that have been destroyed, lives ruined, deaths, the death toll we still don't know, probably one of the worst disasters in American history. And we're hearing they're going to make $750 per person. That's available after they gave all the other money to the illegals that they've invited into our country. It's shameful what this regime, administration, whatever you want to call it, has done. And the sad thing is, in East Palestine, they actually just over a week ago, the judge just came down and accepted the settlement in this case for all of the people that joined in this class action lawsuit, one of the fastest class action lawsuits of this kind to ever go through. And I was actually just on the phone with Stephen Petty, who is actually the forensic scientist, the forensics engineer who was working on the plaintiffs, on the behalf of the plaintiffs. And just to give you an idea of how potentially bad this is or out of the ordinary this is, he's been doing this for over 20 years. He's been involved with over 400 cases. He was part of the DuPont case. He was a part of the 3M Forever Chemicals case. And he came out with a statement after this saying it was wrong, basically. And the first thing, the fact that they accepted this, the fact that the government is saying that there's no long-term effects to this, it was a wrong thing to do. And for him to say that he has never done that in over 400 cases in over 20 years, it tells you something is very wrong here. And that's what we're going back down to see. We're going to go talk to the people, we're going to try to talk to the folks that actually joined in that class action lawsuit, who are waiting for their $70,000. That's all they're getting per person. Mm-hmm. They waived their rights to anything in the future. If they have any health concerns in the future, if they have any medical emergencies connected to this in the future, even if they find out that there was purposeful negligence by the government, by Norfolk Southern, by the attorneys that were supposedly representing them, they've waived their rights to any recourse.
Did you hear that? They waived the right to any recourse, even if criminal negligence is later found to be the case. I was sent a video by someone back in the early 1960s, that as an event took place that created the Tennessee Valley Authority, essentially, ultimately created that, its current iteration, and the land grab behind that. We've seen these things take place throughout the years. Okay, so what I'm trying to tell everyone is, the government, in this case, the federal government, they're coming after our land. Remember that ad by the World Economic Forum, "You're going to own nothing and be happy"? This is the push toward that. This is the push toward the greater picture. The bigger picture here is the UN takeover. This is because when you look at, for example, and Celeste Salome, and I want to thank everyone who joined us last night on our calls with our supporters, talked about a Senate bill. I think it's 4488. I could be wrong on that. I'll put the correct bill in the show notes today. Really the takeover, and all of this is related. So it's extremely important to pay attention. And the other aspect of things, you heard Karine Jean-Pierre, the corn-rolled black lesbian press secretary. And the reason I mention that, again, it references the DEI aspect of the position, not the qualification. I want to make it clear, I'm not disparaging anyone except in the process where they are in the position because of a DEI policy. But there was a recent press conference that she had, and she denied that FEMA provided agencies resources to help the illegals in this country. When a reporter said former President Trump is accusing the Biden, I'm going to say regime, of using FEMA funding to support undocumented illegals. How is the White House responding? And she said, it is categorically false. It's not true. It's a false statement. The fact of the matter is the Washington Post fact checker did a piece in the headline recently, just moments or not too long ago. And the headline was, no, Biden did not take FEMA relief money to use on migrants, but Trump did. I'll leave it there. Those are her words. Now, there was a press conference on September 16th of 2022, 2 years and almost a month ago, February 16th, 2022, when the same woman in the same spot, probably with the same corn rolls and the same dress and the same binder, she was asked if the White House planned to reimburse cities who saw illegals based on their bus to their areas. And she said, FEMA regional administrators have been meeting with city officials on site to coordinate available federal support from FEMA and other federal agencies. And she added this, funding is also available through FEMA's emergency food and shelter program, which would really help right now in the Carolinas, in Tennessee and elsewhere, Georgia and Florida. But FEMA's emergency food and shelter programs to eligible local governments and not-for-profit organizations upon request to support humanitarian relief for the illegal invaders. My words. Okay. And there are clips out there that show that on the 16th of September, 2022, or was that 2022 or 2022, just want to make sure, of her saying this. So in this criticism, the use of FEMA money as Americans in North Carolina and that entire area down there are trying to put their lives back together following Hurricane Helene's historic flooding that washed out roads and just destroyed cities, took many lives. This is not something that has to be fact-checked. This money was given by Mayorkas at the orders of the Biden-Harris regime to support illegals, the illegal invaders, taking it away from American citizens. Folks, the reason I mention this is you cannot hate this regime, the communist left, the Biden-Harris crew, enough. You cannot hate Mayorkas enough for what he has done, what they have done to our country and are doing to our country, which is why I'm going to say this in my heart of hearts. I do believe you're going to see some people down in the Carolina, especially the western part of North Carolina, not take this. And you're going to see some very angry people and perhaps some dead federal workers. This is what I believe is going to happen based on my ear to the ground and firsthand accounts. Because when you stop aid from desperate people, those desperate people do desperate things. I'm just giving it to you how I see it. And that's really huge. So again, from East Palestine to the current crisis we have, to the upcoming crisis, Milton coming in. Isn't it interesting how all of these hit the deep red areas with no help forthcoming? I do want you, I'm going to put a couple of other videos in the show notes. One is Natalie Winters. They're going to do everything they can to kill populism. And there's another video in there, Bill Federer, who's been on the show, talking about the 2024 election is in the hands of Christians. There are 80 million Christians registered to vote in the U.S. And it's interesting because you have a 20 to 25% turnout. Folks, that's unacceptable. Now, to class up the program, we have Dapper, the Dapper Detective, John Moore, who's doing a lot of new stuff with his show. I'm glad to be joined by John, and we're going to be giving him the full hour, as I'm looking at the time here, the full hour. Before I get to John, I want to mention this. Folks, you know, most guys, especially guys my age and approaching my age, most guys think their testosterone is being drained by aging, bad genetics, or maybe even a lack of exercise, a lack of activity. But what if I told you that's not the case? I found this out through my own physician, after blood check levels were checked and such. And the real culprit is something you're likely eating every day. And here's the shocking part. It's something you've always been told is healthy. This is one food that has been scientifically shown to devastate testosterone levels, and most men have no idea. It's not junk food. It's not sugar. It's something way more unexpected. I really want you to watch this video at SculptNation.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. That's SculptNation.com/Hagman. The link will be in the program description box below. But I'm going to tell you the good news. Cutting this one thing out of your diet could completely transform the way you feel. Our friends at V-Shred have seen it firsthand with their clients, and the guys who stopped eating it are building muscle, burning fat, and feeling more energized than they have in years. It's really incredible how quickly things can change once you know what to avoid. And V-Shred, the team behind the cutting-edge fitness and nutrition strategies, have created this video that reveals exactly what this testosterone-killing food is and why removing it from your diet could be the key to unlocking your body's true potential. So if you want to know what this food is, head over to SculptNation.com. That's all one word, S-C-U-L-P-T, Nation, SculptNation.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman. Again, SculptNation.com/Hagman. And watch the video or just click the link below. V-Shred's expert break it all down for you. And this is one simple change that could make all the difference. Trust me, this is one thing you don't want to miss. SculptNation.com/Hagman. I want to thank them for their support of this program. So with me is the long-lost, missing MIA, Dapper Detective John Moore, the Liberty Man. TheLibertyMan.com is his website. He's really going great guns with the new format. There's some video there that you can watch. I'm telling you what, he's done a great job with it. John, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, Doug. Good to be with you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're looking great as usual, as always, and I appreciate you coming on. So, John, rather than me direct the topical matter, subject matter, why don't you tell me, because we've been missing... we haven't been together in a while. What's on your mind right now? What are you looking at? What's your platform looking at? And even if you want to do this before that, tell people the changes in your formatting, if you'd like.
Well, we now have video archives. The live show is still audio only. But my video archives, which is 10 different platforms, including Rumble and Brighteon and about 8 others, we have video archives. And some of my guests are doing video and some aren't. It's their choice. We'll be doing my first live podcast, I believe, in about a week. It's been a 10-month challenge. We began this quest in January. And getting all the bits and pieces together, which you've been through this years ago, but I'm just now getting started. The equipment, the knowledge, the software, expertise. So that'll be when we're ready to broadcast that first live podcast, I'll make that announcement and people can watch and listen. So it's been fun working in my studio and working with my engineer and my wife and Dr. Horowitz, of course, to get this whole thing going.
If I can just jump in here real quick, I want to remind the audience, probably around the 15th of October, we're going to start doing live broadcasts again, expand the show a little bit, doing live broadcasts on audio and video, both. I just want to kind of give you a heads up to that. You and I will talk off air about that. But folks, it's and John's right. Look, man, it's not a cheap date. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that, right? And I'll tell you what.
Time and money, learning, there's a lot to it, yeah. Absolutely.
So, okay. Yeah. So, looking forward to that, John, from you and also from us. Continue, sir. Go ahead.
Well, we have an election in less than a month, the 5th day of November. That's the number one priority for myself and many other people right now. You mentioned a moment ago all the Christians that there are that could be voting that aren't voting. Despite the whatever number you pick, 12 million or more illegal aliens, we still have the numbers. Believe it or not, if we can get our conservative Christian patriot friends, relatives, co-workers, people to go to church with, if we can get them to the polls, we can still pull this out of the fire before it gets any worse. It's not optional, Doug. And obviously, President Trump can't do this by himself. There's an expression in politics called riding the coattails, and we have many thousands of men and women all over the country riding President Trump's coattails to be installed in offices from city council, county commissions, library boards, school boards, hospital boards, state reps, state senators, all over the country that our combined efforts, I believe, could turn us around before we go into outright civil war, which I lived in a civil war zone in Vietnam for a year, and I know firsthand it's no fun. We have to go out every morning and check your vehicle for bombs. That's when you live in a civil war, Doug, and that's what I did every morning. I opened the hood of my Jeep a little bit. I looked underneath it. I opened up a little more, and I finally opened it the whole way to see if there was any wires that were there that weren't there the day before. Not a fun way to live, but that's if you're living in a civil war situation, that's what you need to do because the enemy can be anyone, anywhere, anytime. So let's win this at the polls. The powers that be, the deep state, they are definitely afraid of President Trump. There's people who think he's part of the deep state. Well, if he was, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. He poses a clear and present danger to the deep state. And, of course, the senior executive service, which is the real deep state, if you want to get down to what's really going on, the senior executive service runs this country. Presidents may come, presidents may go. I have a neighbor, Doug, who went to Washington, D.C. to work as a young female administrative assistant when President Eisenhower was president. And she just retired about 8 years ago. That's common.
Yeah.
These people, when they get there, they just simply never leave. It becomes their life, and it becomes generational, where we now have the grandchildren of the people who were there in World War II in the same similar type positions. It reminds me of Hunger Games, where the capital city is where all the wealth is. And I believe you have the highest concentration of wealth within a 50-mile radius of Washington, D.C., don't you, Doug?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is very true.
Very true. And it's become generational. It needs to be broken up.
President Trump also promised to take some of the deep state entities that were created. For example, Department of Education. I think
that doesn't educate anybody.
Exactly. And I think the EPA and send them away from D.C., which would they don't want that. But I'll tell you something. That needs to happen. In fact, they need to be dismantled, all of these unessential, non-essential agencies or the poisonous agencies need to be dismantled. Go ahead.
Well, let's say unconstitutional.
Yeah.
I made a comment the other day on my Thursday show that transferring money from the public treasury to private individuals is unconstitutional, which it is. Yep. It doesn't mean we don't give aid to people in the hurricane-devastated area of Western North Carolina, it means it's the state's responsibility and not the responsibility of the U.S. Treasury. That's the proper way for money to be distributed to private citizens during an emergency is from the state treasuries, not from the federal treasury. And, of course, many of the federal agencies are unconstitutional also. Article 1, Section 8 clearly states the, I believe it's 18, it may be 19 ways money can be spent from the public treasury. However, going back as far as about 1820, when James Madison was back in Congress, Congress had been using the introductory sentence to the Article 1, Section 8 as a clause. And I believe it was Madison. I might be wrong, but I think I'm right. Madison said to his fellow members of Congress, gentlemen, if I meant that to be a clause where you can spend money, and I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, spend money anywhere you damn well please, why would I specifically list the 18 things that you can spend money on? And that's the general welfare statement in the beginning of Article 1, Section 8. They use that as a clause. It's not a clause. And the money-spending authority of Congress, I believe, is the key to really bringing back our government to what it's supposed to be and reassigning all these things that are being done by the federal government back to the states where they belong, Doug. That's the proper way it should be done, the way it was done for, well, most of the 19th century, not all, but most of the 19th century. Anyway, Doug, this election coming up, it's too late to be registered to vote in many jurisdictions. If you can still get registered to vote, by all means, do it. Make sure your conservative Christian friends, families, co-workers, people to go to church with, that they're both registered to vote and intend to go to the polls. If they need a ride to the polls, if they need child care, give them whatever help they need. If they need to go to the courthouse early and vote, help them do that. And you might want to consider having an election day party at your home. Only people admitted will be those who have voted. You might consider becoming a poll worker if it's not too late. It may be too late in your jurisdiction to be a paid poll worker. If it's not too late, you might become a poll watcher, which is a unpaid volunteer position. You're trained to look for things going wrong that shouldn't be going wrong and reporting to the proper authorities. You may want to volunteer for a campaign of a state rep, a state senator, a sheriff, a President Trump, whatever, to help distribute material, knock on doors. There's still a lot of things can be done, Doug, and this is not optional. If we lose this election, if President Trump does not go back to the Oval Office, all bets are off as to where the future of our republic goes. World War III will probably become more of a reality than it is already. I want to remind people World War II did not begin December 7, 1941. It began in the mid-1930s. 6 years before, with the invasion of Ethiopia, the invasion of China by the Japan, with the invasion of the Sudetenland by the Third Reich. And, of course, Ethiopia was invaded by the Italy. That's the biggest country that they could come up against, the Italian army. What a joke. But I think historians may say that World War III has already begun. The Russians have been very tolerant. Ukraine's been shooting rather small drones and such at Moscow that may have a 1 pound or 5 pound explosive charge. They're prepared to get really big missiles that will be guided by U.S. technology, satellite and airplanes with a 1,000 pound or larger payload. Russia is not going to tolerate that. They simply aren't going to do that, Doug. Those kind of munitions going off in the capital of Moscow will bring a strong response. What I said this morning on my show, Doug, is that Russia could smash Ukraine like a bug if they chose to. Well, they're in the third year of war. They've chosen not to. And why? Well, my belief is their goal is not to smash Ukraine, which they could easily do with their overwhelming military superiority. Their goal is to deplete Western nations of their munitions and eventually men, of course. And they're doing that quite successfully.
Good point.
The stockpiles of artillery shells and the weapons of war are being depleted. The spare parts for jet fighters are being depleted. The jet fighters themselves are being depleted. If you want to, and of course, the Russian general staff, they know very well the writings of Sun Tzu, who wrote a book older than Christian Bible, The Art of War. And if you can win a war without firing a shot, that's the ideal way to do it. And that's exactly what they're doing. Of course, they're firing shots in Ukraine, but that's just a nuisance to them, what's going on in Ukraine. The real war, I believe, will be won without a shot being fired because we've depleted all our military resources, Doug. It's a shame that our Department of Defense is being run by spending money as opposed to what's good for the country, what's good for defense. I'll give you one example. The F-15, manufactured in my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri, I've known, I've had blood relatives that work at McDonnell Douglas and Boeing. I know about 30 men and women who work there right now. Another friend of mine, my Friday guest, was an outside vendor for Boeing at one time. So my one friend who's an F-15 engineer, he says, John, the U.S. Air Force cannot get the latest upgrades for the F-15 that's available to Israel and South Korea, other partners. And why? Well, here's why. Because the F-15 with the latest upgrades has almost no difference in what it can do, its ability, from the F-35. The differences are almost inconsequential, with some major bonuses. First of all, the first major bonus is you can fly the F-15 in a thunderstorm. And do your research, ladies and gentlemen. You can't fly the F-35 in a thunderstorm. How embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. The F-15, with all the latest upgrades, brand new. And in fact, Trump ordered, I think, the first 12 or 15 new F-15s in more than 20 years, with all the latest upgrades, is a tiny percentage of the cost of an F-35. The most expensive jet fighter ever manufactured. Now, how can the F-15 do this? Well, Boeing has made the F-15 a modular aircraft where all the avionics can be upgraded by simply unplugging one and plugging in the latest and greatest.
Right.
There's been constant upgrades to the airframe, constant upgrades to the power plant. So despite the aircraft being 30-plus years old, with the latest upgrades and being newly manufactured, it's equal to the F-35 or anything else in the air because of the latest upgrades. Doug, that's just one tiny example of what's been going on in the Department of Defense, where spending money and making profits is getting ahead of what's best for the country.
Man, I could not have said that any better myself. And you're right about the F-15, F-35. You're right about that. And wasn't there, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was in Ukraine where we delivered some F-15s that were bombed by Russia.
I believe F-16s, not that it matters. I believe it's F-16s. But of course, Russia's got satellites also.
Yeah. I mean, a perfect investment of how many millions of, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous how things are playing out. But the military war machine is quite active. And one of the things that I found, John, and by the way, folks, make sure you go to thelibertyman.com and click on his website. And make sure you listen, but listen specifically currently to all of the shows, the archive shows. If you can't hit it live, listen to the archive shows. Drill down through and listen to the archive shows. There's a lot of great information on there. Support John by way of his products. By the way, thank you for that CD. Quite the CD, I might say.
There's more coming, and there's more coming.
I love it. And folks, if you want to know what I'm talking about, go to the Liberty Man and scroll down.
We're not selling on my website anymore. My wife is using other platforms. It's easily available on the usual music platforms that people go to get their music.
My apologies. Sorry.
Well, no apologies necessary. It was a change that you weren't aware of.
Okay. So, yes, very interesting indeed. But again, folks, make John Moore part of your show prep or a part of your knowledge stream on a daily basis. The Liberty Man is the place to go.
Well, Doug, you got my photographs there. The one on the right where I got the bandoliers of ammunition across my shoulders.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear how that happened?
Did this involve like a neighborhood spat, or I'm kidding? Yes, I would like to hear.
Well, that's in Vietnam, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, the U.S. military and the Army, U.S. Army, are very proud of having the quote unquote the best logistics of any army in the world. Well, that's the public story. The real story was in Vietnam, I couldn't get the ammunition I needed for my rifle, the M14. So I flew 57 combat missions over Vietnam, and so I was at the air base out there twice a month, typically, and I got to know the guys, the fall of 1967, we knew that the Tet Offensive would take place at the end of January 1968. It was common knowledge, no secret. So I'm asking my supply sergeant, can we get ammunition? Because I didn't have the ammunition I wanted. We had guys that didn't have any ammunition. And he says, no, John, I'm trying. We can't get it. I'm sorry. So I'm out at the airbase, and there was an announcement over the public address that they're expecting we were there too late to drive back because the Viet Cong owned the highway at night. It was a 10-mile drive, and you simply did not go on that road at night. It was too damn dangerous. So we're having dinner and great food at the Air Force mess hall. The public address system says we're expecting to be attacked tonight. So I'm there with two of my buddies from my outfit, the 10th PSYOP Battalion, and I said, let's instead of hiding out in a bunker with these Air Force weenies, let's go see if we can cut a deal with the guy in charge of security. So I was appointed the spokesman. We go to this major in charge of security for the airbase. It was Ben Tui Airbase. And I said, he was a major and I'm a corporal. I said, sir, myself and my two friends here, we will pull duty any place you want on your perimeter all night long in exchange for all the ammunition we can carry the next morning. He just gave us the biggest smile, and he said, you got a deal. He says, show up here at 8 o'clock. So we went back and had relaxed a little bit, had a little coffee, went back there, and he loaded us up with ammunition, hand grenades, smoke grenades, tear gas grenades, everything we needed. He signed us to where he thought they were going to be attacked. It was not much of a bunker. It was three aluminum bomb cases filled up with sand that we got down behind those, and we talked about our girlfriends and our cars and life and took turns sleeping, which wasn't very easy since the mosquitoes were pretty heavy. About 2 a.m., the mortar attack came, and they went right over us from the jungle in front of us to the base behind us. Some guys got hurt. I don't recall if anybody died. And then we were ready for the ground attack. And so that was about 3 hours or so before dawn. Luckily, no ground attack came. We were very blessed in that regard. Went back to the security office, and the officer thanked us. He says, guys, thank you very much. Take your ammunition. Go have a great breakfast. Then we walked over to the chow hall, Doug, and here we are with a growth of beard on our faces. We got rifles. We got flak jackets. We got ammunition across our shoulders. We got helmets. And all these Air Force weenies that spent the night hunkering down in the bunker, they're looking at us like we're men from Mars. And, Doug, I never felt so proud to be a soldier.
Oh,
it was quite a morning.
Wow.
That's where the ammunition came from. And, of course, I got back to my base, and I distributed to the guys that didn't have any ammo.
What a great story. What a great accounting. And I'm glad you captured that. By photograph, that's...
Well, I should have I was only 20 years old. I should have drove a harder bargain for more hand grenades and smoke grenades, but I just was glad to get the ammo. He would have gave me anything he had. hand grenades, pop flares, it wouldn't matter.
Man, I'll tell you what, that... And thank you for doing what you did. John, I can't imagine being in that environment at that time. Wow, man.
Well, in the modern age, it would have been a lot different because my high school football team was all over that country. High school football team was all over that country.
Okay,
and different. With the Air Force, the Marines, the Army, yep. And if we had the modern age communications, we really could have got some things done.
I'm not
off the books. Off the books.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure that was the intent back then. But look, I don't know. I don't pretend to know. Just what I read, and I think that feeding the war machine even today. Look at what's happening today. You've got the Middle East. The aid going there, military aid going to Ukraine, the military aid that's going everywhere else and taking away from America. I get the fact that in some cases you've got to support certain things, but not to the extent we're doing it now. Do you agree? Or
Well, we the proper way to dispense military aid, first of all, you have to have a treaty with the country that the aid is going to. Now, when it comes to Ukraine, which is certainly the topic of the day, there was a treaty signed about 10 or 12 years ago involving the NATO companies, Ukraine, and Russia that we now know, because it's been released publicly, our side, the allied NATO Ukraine side, had no intention of living up to the terms of the treaty. They used it as a way to buy time to more heavily arm Ukraine. That's been released publicly. It's no secret. If the terms of the agreement had been lived up to, there'd be no war in Ukraine, even now. There wouldn't be. It never would have started. The treaty, the agreement was a fair treatment that would have given both sides what they wanted equitably. And we being the Allied side, the Ukraine side, the English side, had no intention of living up to that treaty. They wanted war, which is absolutely foolish. Intentionally setting up a treaty with the intent to violate it from the get-go is not a way to run diplomacy, not a way to conduct business, I don't believe. You're not being upfront with the people you're making the treaty with, the agreement with, and it's unfair any way you look at it, I think, Doug. The Ukrainian people are beautiful, productive, intelligent people. They're getting the raw end of this deal, as innocent civilians in every war end up getting the raw deal. Most of them know that they have one of the most corrupt governments in the world.
Yep.
It's become the equivalent of Havana in 1950, the playground for the rich and famous to do anything they want to do and not have any trouble. That's what it's become for the wealthy elite of the planet, a very elite playground for the wealthy, for the rich and famous.
Right.
It's a shame what's happened to Ukraine. And to be doing what we're doing in Ukraine is wrong any way you look at it. The 40, and now it's released publicly also, the 40 biological weapons laboratories in Ukraine mm-hmm. have been working to develop weapons to be used against the Russians. The Russians have been very tolerant and very patient in knowing these things are there and not taking them out when they could have a lot more easily.
Man.
So now we have Americans on the ground there who are not in American uniforms. They're working as technicians. An F-16, for example, you're not going to take a Ukrainian aircraft pilot, or I should say mechanic, and teach them to properly maintain an F-15. First of all, the manuals aren't written in the Ukrainian language. They don't have the proper training, which takes well more than a year to even touch a multi-million-dollar jet fighter. The spare parts have to be ordered on a daily basis from the manufacturer of the F-16. So, of course, there's Americans there doing logistics work, doing the maintenance on these very complex, very expensive weapons systems. The pilots themselves, can they fly them? I don't know. Are they American pilots flying them or Ukrainian? I don't know. Learning to fly a complex aircraft of that sort is no small thing. It takes a lot of training, and there's probably American experts on the ground to help the Ukrainian pilots with what they need help with, dealing with these expensive, complex pieces of machinery.
And this is one reason why the left, the communist left, and I find this very interesting as well. It used to be think back during Vietnam, the protests against the Vietnam War, hey, LBJ, how many kids have you killed today? But
well, here's I know more about the Vietnam War than most human beings.
Yeah.
And, we didn't have the internet. We had the postal service. So I'm sitting there on my lunch break reading Newsweek magazine about the, a Russian embassy hosting Americans for a Christmas get-together. At the same time, my buddies are being shot at by brand-new Russian-made automatic weapons.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. What's wrong with this picture? we're chasing around 15-year-old barefoot boys in the jungle as our enemy, when a real enemy is having a Christmas buffet for Americans in Washington, D.C. There's something wrong with that?
Well,
maybe a little bit?
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with it. And I see the similarities to today, where you've got President Trump who is promising. He's saying, look, I can end the hostilities, the war in Ukraine, maybe even before in my inauguration, sometime after election, before inauguration. And when you think about the cost savings in lives as well as equipment, the U.S. and NATO countries and Russian and Ukrainian folk, they don't want that. The deep state, they don't want that. They want to keep that going and churning, and what a cash cow that is for them. So the military. So I see a lot of similarities between. Well, when similarities aside, I believe that that's perhaps one of many other reasons, but one of the reasons why they don't want Donald Trump in office. That's my view. Because look,
Doug, let me interrupt you. It's war is known to be the most profitable human activity there is. Nothing else, even a pharmaceutical industry, which is incredibly powerful, profitable, nothing is as profitable as conducting war. It's documented that Howard Hughes was giving Spiro Agnew, the Vice President of the United States, paper sacks full of $100 bills as payment to keep the war going, because every Huey helicopter that was lost was another $1 million in Howard Hughes' pocket, I believe. They cost $1 million a piece, which these days is chump change. But back then, in the 1960s, $1 million was serious money. And that's just one small example of the corruption. We now know that the general staff of the U.S. military knew how to stop the war within a year for the following reason. There was a Siemens German-made dredge in Haiphong Harbor. It was kept working basically 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, because the silt from the river would fill in the deep water port within 6 to 12 months. Once that was done, no more weapons of war could be offloaded, because that was the only deep water port they had. Everybody all the general staff of the Navy, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they all knew that one bomb sinking one ship would stop the war in a year or less. That was common knowledge at the time with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And they did not allow our fighter pilots to bomb that one ship that would have ended the war. That's all they needed to do. And a civilian found out about this. He bought a World War II bomber. He bought a World War II bomb. He recruited a retired Air Force pilot. And he's ready to bomb it himself. When Nixon was advised by a retired general, you better wrap this war, we're going to bomb dredge is going to be bombed. And it turned out the bomb was too big to fit in the bomber, so it was all a big bluff, as it turned out. But that's when the peace negotiations began.
Oh, wow.
Nixon was not going to negotiate. They wanted that war to go another 20 years. They've already gone 10 years plus. And that's the real deal with the Vietnam War. One bomb sinking one dredge, that Siemens dredge, German-made dredge, would have stopped the war in a year or less, Doug.
Now, how many people out there listening knows about that?
It's a nuance of history that almost nobody knows.
Exactly, which is why John Moore, the Liberty Man, classes this place up with both being dapper as well as the information and intelligence. Wow.
Well, Doug, this is how unknown that was. I was an intelligence analyst. I attended a secret briefing 5 days a week. I picked up documents from the CIA 5 days a week, National Security Agency 5 days a week, Army Security 5 days a week. And I read all this, including RAND Corporation reports, which was basically a private intelligence service. And I just soaked that stuff up. I'm a pretty fast reader, and I didn't know it. It was very compartmentalized. They made sure that very few people knew that if they bombed that one dredge with one bomb, the war would be over in a relatively short period of time.
Unbelievable. And the story behind that is just fascinating to me. I mean, that's, wow.
We could have, and it could have done a blockade.
Yeah, yeah.
The U.S. Navy could have blockaded that harbor, and the weapons of war would have stopped coming in. That would have been the end of it.
Incredible. Again, all wars are bankers' wars. It's really all about the money, and it's really something. And again, that's why I think that there's so much pushback against President Trump. I mean, that's one of many reasons, but that's a big reason. Kind of like
it's Kennedy a massive was. Reason. Yeah. A massive reason.
Yeah. So I want to ask you something else, though. I do this, folks, so you don't have to. I it's 6 o'clock my time in the morning. I turned on Morning Joe. I think it was six. I don't know. It was early, and he now. This is something that I think we're going to have to deal with regardless of how this election goes. And I'm going to quote from Morning Joe. He said, "This is an increasingly desperate person," referencing, of course, Donald Trump. He sounded the alarm about Donald Trump and the, quote, fire hose of falsehoods, end quote, coming from him, J.D. Vance,
really?
And others. Yeah.
Really?
And here's the important part. He says they are preparing for civil war. Now, you know,
they who?
I'm sorry, they? Meaning
they who?
Meaning Trump, Vance, his really? Surrogates, associates, and us. We are preparing for civil war.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. That was the con. And when I heard that, I had to hit rewind and to make sure I heard that correctly. It was about a 2-minute clip, and he's blaming the inflammatory rhetoric by President Trump. For example, at the blaming the assassination attempts on him. By inflammatory Democrat rhetoric, and saying, you know, that's wrong, it shouldn't be, and he's really stoking the embers for a civil war. What's going on here? Obviously, that's projection in my view, but
it is.
We've
seen this before. I refer to our opposition as socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims, where they're projecting on us what they're actually doing. I believe a president, and I've seen many of his rallies. It's an evening entertainment for my wife and myself to J.D. Vance and President Trump's rallies. I think his comments are very accurate, very truthful, and quite frankly, very subdued compared to what they could and should be, I believe. On the other hand, the mainstream media has been comparing President Trump to Adolf Hitler. We've had prominent Democrats comparing President Trump to Adolf Hitler. They don't seem to hold back at all, using this very inflammatory language to describe President Trump and describe what he intends to do once he becomes president again, as if he didn't have 4 years to do those evil, bad things before. Of course he had 4 years to do evil, bad things to our republic, but he didn't, did he? He did good things for our republic, and we had the lowest unemployment for all races during his tenure, up to the COVID, the make-believe pandemic. The economy was booming. We had a rate of inflation of, a little over 2%. We had good relations with all our adversaries, North Korea, Russia, China, and so forth. We had no money going to Iran, cutting off their ability to fund international terrorism. And he appointed more than 100 conservative judges to federal benches, made a couple of great appointments for the Supreme Court. I don't see anything negative at all about President Trump's presidency the past 4 years that he was president. And what a man's done in the past is a strong indicator of what he'll probably do in the future. And that's what they're deathly afraid of, aren't they, Doug?
They are. And what I have set up, if Eric the Tech has it, this is a minute 14. this is not part of the 2 minutes that was. I mean, I have not heard this level of vitriol against not just President Trump or J.D. Vance, but the American people by a mainstream media, if that's what you want to call MSNBC or MSNDC, DNC, that is. I've not heard this level of vitriol from anyone. This is a minute 14, if Eric the Tech, if you have it, in addition to what I just said. Here it is.
The level of un-American activity that you just saw is stunning. That is un-American. They know they're lying. Donald Trump knows that's a lie. He will tell you that the Secret Service, he thought, did the best job they could do. The fact that J.D. Vance and Trump's family would out and out say what they said takes the threat of violence, takes the threat beyond where it was even leading up to January the 6th. This is an increasingly desperate person, an increasingly desperate family who's preparing for civil war. They just are. Talking about they're trying to kill him. Democrats are trying to kill him.
And that was a truncated clip, but what he failed to mention was the un-American aspects of the assassination attempts, at least two that we know of, one in Butler, one in Florida. But if you consider the weight that they have among the hardcore leftists, they're setting us up for some sort of civil war, along with perhaps a revolution, regardless of the outcome of the election. But I see them as desperate. I see them as worried about the outcome of this election. And I see them as pulling the, metaphorically speaking, the trigger before the president, the supporters of President Trump and the populist or American First people. Do you feel the same way?
I do, absolutely. They're desperate, as I've said a lot the past year, Doug. Desperate people do desperate things.
Yeah.
And this Kamala Harris person, she ran for president before. She never even got to the first primary. She dropped out before the Iowa, the first primary, because even the Democrats didn't like her. And I think she was drawing a one or two percentage, or 1 or 2 percentage point numbers from the Democratic Party, and she's hopeless, and she's not even qualified to be president because she's not a natural born citizen. I believe her mother was not a citizen at the time of her birth, which makes her a dual national. And according to the Constitution, we can't have a dual national be president. To be a natural born citizen, you need two American parents and to be born on American soil. You could have, well, Doug, if your parents were in England when you were born, you'd be a dual national. You would not be a natural born citizen. You'd still be an American citizen. Of course, you'd be an American citizen because you have two American parents, but you could have a British passport if you chose to, making you unqualified to be president of the United States. Same thing with Kamala. That's not talked about at all, but it should be, I think.
Well, we had the same thing with Obama.
Exactly.
Obama could have been born on the steps of the White House and still be ineligible.
He had a Kenyan father, yep, who was a British national. It was a British colony at the time. So Obama could have a British passport right now if he chose to, because he's a dual national and not a natural born citizen.
And I think when he was on the Lugar Commission, when he was a junior Illinois senator, I do believe that when he was stopped in Perm in Russia that's what the Russians had found, that he had was traveling under a British passport, based on what I was able to come up with at the time. So, yeah, I mean, but since when does the left care about the Constitution? They're trampling it anyway, or the rhinos even.
Or the right. Well, even the right. Yeah. President Trump could easily make this an issue if he chose to. You know, of course, you got to deal with the electorate as they are, not like you would like them. You know, according to the, we don't care for it that much, but the Department of Education says 51% of Americans are illiterate. Of the 49% left, most of them don't read anything of any consequence, and that's just simply the way it is.
And those who do read, I do suspect a good portion of them don't read anything more than a social media post because it's too long. I don't want to read a book. I don't want to read an article in a newspaper. It's just too long. They lose that attention span. So I do. The dumbing down of the population.
By design.
By design. That concerns the heck out of me. No, you're 100% right. And you're bringing up some very, very good points, salient to what's going on today. So are you concerned? Okay, so the scenario, let's just put this out. The scenario where it's too big to rig, President Trump is declared the victor at some point. Now, you're going to have the leftist, the communist congressmen and women attempt to not certify the vote.
Well, Kamala is the one that does certification, by the way.
No, right. But, I mean, you know, hey, the challenges were bad, of course, in 2021 or 2020 for the 2020 election. You weren't allowed to challenge or offer alternate electors or whatever, despite the Constitution. Now, if this happens on the left, it's going to be okay. It's part of the process. So,
right.
You know, but I do see if President Trump, and I do believe he will, if evangelicals, if Christians get out there and do their duty and vote, I really believe that I think the left is going to become even more unhinged than we saw back in 2016, 2017. It's just me. Your thoughts?
It's going to be, well... Yeah. I agree with you, Doug. We're certainly in uncharted territory. I watched some of the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, Saturday. It was historical, what took place there. There's no precedence in American political history for what's taking place this election cycle. There simply is not. Things happening I never dreamed of happening. This man being nearly assassinated twice in just a couple of months. The mass media so blatantly lying. These people that were supposed to be moderators for the two presidential debates, they just outright lied. Their fact checking was outright lies. Not impartial as they're supposed to be. It brings, you know, you brought up the topic of civil war. Who's going to be the two opponents? I think it's our opponents would be the George Soros recruited, trained, and equipped men and women that were out there in the summer of 2020. The same men and women, the exact same men and women, plus the commandos brought in from Russia, from China, from south of our border, military trained, military equipped, with military leadership, with a military discipline. That once they're activated, they'll be doing two things, destroying property and killing people. That's what they do. That's what they're trained to do, as commandos, you know, all over the world are trained to do. So that's who the opposition would be. And it'll be up to sheriff's departments, police departments, state troopers, and individual families and neighborhoods to protect themselves from this onslaught directed by the powers that be, Doug. It won't be a real civil war. It'll be a make-believe civil war. There is no legitimate opposition. There is a paid opposition that is doing what they're told and to do and what they're paid to do, as opposed to an opposition that really believes in their mission. They believe in nothing but the booty that they'll get, the money they'll be paid, the loot they'll get. That's their goal, Doug.
Well, and I'm going to toss this number out there, of the 30 plus million. That's my number. I believe that the Biden regime under Mayorkas under Biden and Harris allowed into this country. You've got tens of thousands of true terrorist warriors, men of war from various countries. So I believe they can cause a whole lot of chaos and damage in American cities all across the United States, given the order.
Absolutely.
So yep. You've got them, and then you've got the backers. I'm just wondering what it's going to take. What is the flashpoint? You know, and we've talked about this before, and we can go back and forth until we're blue in the face. But, you know, when are American men going to stand up and say, you know what, you caused this, and you're going to fix this right now, or we're going to do what the Constitution says, and that is reformat our government. And I think that's what we're going to have to do, regardless of who wins. Hopefully Donald Trump will win and be able to do that job himself on our behalf. Otherwise, if it goes the other way and somebody knocks on or somebody starts pounding on the door to get your guns or comes to get you for saying something wrong on social media, we better be prepared for this, because I don't think you or I will be on the air a year from now if Kamala Harris wins, Tim Walz wins, and what a goofball that guy is. But I'm just saying, yes. You know.
Yeah. Well, the former Secretary of State John Kerry has said exactly what you're talking about, how the First Amendment is an impediment for them having control of the American people. And they want to eliminate the First Amendment so that they have absolute control over the airways, over the Internet. A friend of mine told me he escaped Czechoslovakia before the wall came down in the whenever it was, 1989. He escaped about 5 years before that with his wife. He says, John, the New World Order will destroy the Internet, or the Internet will destroy the New World Order. There's never been the immediate access to almost the contents of the Library of Congress from people's homes. That's never existed before, ever. And that's what we have. This is something that cannot and will not be tolerated by the deep state, by the powers that be. They simply can't tolerate that, because they have to control the information to control the people, don't they, Doug?
You know, they do. I believe that even with, look, we've got like you said, essentially the Library of Congress at our fingertips, the contents they're in. But if we just simply have a Bible and a copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights and such, that's all we really need as our guidance to what to do next. But
that's right.
The other information, you know, the historical information about what communist governments do and regimes do, it's so important for people to understand history, which is why I love history and I love talking about history, because we can learn from the various times, the communist takeovers. And by the way, good friend of the program, good friend of mine, Jack Posobiec, wrote Unhumans. And that book is about the history of communism. It's an excellent read. I highly recommend it. But it gives you the historical backdrop of what we're facing today. And boy, it ain't going to be pleasant if this does take off. I'm telling you.
No, not at all. Not at all. What happens when the communists take over is not a pleasant thing. 100 years ago, when the communists took over Russia, there was resistance called the White Russians. It went on for maybe 3 or 4 years before they were finally defeated. We even had American troops in Russia fighting the communists at the end of World War I on behalf of the White Russians. And, of course, they obviously lost. when the communists take over, they take the leadership of their opposition, and they either execute them or jail them for long periods of time. And it's happened every place the communists have taken over. And those who help them, the Quislings, they end up being arrested and executed also. People like Nancy Pelosi or Kamala Harris or any of these others who helped the communists. The communists don't trust them. Their logic is very sound logic, the communist logic. If they would betray their own country, how can we trust them? So they don't. They don't. Yeah. They shouldn't trust them. Absolutely. Because
exactly. And, you know, if you want a cultural reference, Red Dawn, if you watch that movie, you can see what they did to the people who thought they were safe, you know, if they went along.
Right.
Yeah, so exactly. So we've got about 5 minutes left, and I'm going to give this 5 minutes to you, wherever you want to go, whatever you want to say. And folks, this is The Liberty Man, thelibertyman.com, John Moore. I highly recommend his show, highly recommend his website. Take it wherever you want to take it in the closing 5 minutes of the show.
Okay, well, Doug, well, thank you. First of all, ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, we have a spiritual war here. And since it is a spiritual war, I recommend praying without ceasing. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying every day, because ultimately, winning the spiritual war will be a matter of prayer. In the meantime, work with your church, work with your neighborhood to have a neighborhood watch where your community comes together to take care of each other during whatever crisis it might be. It may be a land-based hurricane like we've got in western North Carolina. Maybe a snowstorm, an ice storm, earthquake, whatever it is. Your community needs to be prepared. I'm getting notes from my listeners in western North Carolina giving details about what they're dealing with and how listening to my show has helped them to be prepared with, for example, a hand crank AM, FM, shortwave radio. If you're cut off from news, your mind will go to the worst place instantly. That's just human nature. So work on your health. You need to be healthy. You need to be strong. Whatever that is for you, it's going to be different things. Everybody's got limitations. The 20-year-old Olympic athlete has limitations, as does the 85-year-old grandparent. Understand the limitations. Work with them. Don't hurt yourself. Get the training, first aid training, CPR, and ham radio. Those are the two skills, first aid, CPR, and ham radio. Whether your group is 6 or 600, the two skills that will be in the biggest demand and shortest supply. Once you have those skills, you in turn can train other people in CPR and first aid. You can train other people in shortwave radio. If you don't know those things, get busy. You can learn shortwave radio at the following website, ARRL.org. That's the American Radio Relay League.org website. Everything you need to get started with ham radio is right there. You can find first aid CPR classes, your local junior college, fire department, hospitals, sheriff's department. You'll find all kinds of places that put on first aid and CPR training. Get the equipment that's equal to your skill level. Get ready. Have a safe haven. It may be your home, maybe another location, a place that's safe for you and your family, a proprietary source of water, food stored up for at least a year, I recommend 2 years, and neighbors that you know and trust. If you think you and your wife can go to your 20 acres and put a fence around it and hold off the world, you're wrong. It needs to be a community effort. That's what will work. A family trying to do this by themselves is doomed to failure, in my opinion. So it's a lot to do. We don't have much time, and I recommend everybody get busy with their prayers, get busy with their training, get the equipment they need, and get ready, because things could fall apart really quickly like they did in western North Carolina. People living their peaceful lives, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes a land-based hurricane. Who would have thought such a thing could even happen? But it did. It happened here about 12 years ago. And unless you've actually seen one like I did, it's a sight to behold. Mm-hmm. My little creek, typically 8 inches deep, was 8 feet deep. and yeah, I mean, it was incredible. And that's my summary, Doug.
Wow. Well, I appreciate that. And folks, take heed to his advice, sage advice indeed. That's The Liberty Man. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. And folks, please do me a favor and Okay.
Frank, that's where you can see it.
There we go. The man, the myth, the legend. There. Oh, that's been a while since I said that. John Moore, the man, the myth, the legend. Are those for sale? Do you have them?
No, I'm not selling them. Okay. I'm not.
All right. Well, I've called you that, and I mean that. The man, the myth, the legend, folks. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Thank you, John. Appreciate you joining me today, and we'll talk. All right.
Yeah, let's talk privately.
Yes,
thank you very much.
I have to. All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you, folks, for tuning in. God bless.